Welcome to the Niches You. My name is Matt Gottesman at Matt Gottesman on Instagram, and this is my daily podcast where I create short, quick hitting episodes to help you uncomplicate life, creativity, and the pursuit of your highest self. There's only main character energy here. Now let's get into it. Welcome to episode 260. Do you know the difference between what you want and what's worth wanting? Do you know the difference between what you want and what's worth wanting? They sound like the same. Some cases they could be the same, but they are also different. Because what you want may be more immediate, but what's worth wanting may be more long-term. And those are two very different games. Now, we are always having to make decisions for immediate outcomes, if you will, but can you make decisions in the short term that are always playing for the long term, that are for the bigger picture? Why do we struggle with that sometimes as humans? A lot of reasons, impatience to fear, worry, anxiety. I need this now, so I got to take this deal now. I got to take this business now. I got to take this thing now, you know, etc. And so I was reading a chapter out of Shane Parrish's book, Clear Thinking. We've done a little bit from this book before. It is in the show notes in the recommended reading. And I've also added a few new books. And he has this two pages in the book that starts off wanting what matters. And he starts off with a Marcus Aurelius quote, which I love because I just added Marcus Aurelius Meditations to their recommended reading list. And this comes from Meditations Book 7. Think of yourself as dead. You have lived your life. Now take what's left and live it properly. Think of yourself as dead. You've lived your life. Now take what's left and live it properly. I love this because more often than not, most people, you know, live in a way where they eventually get to a place where, like, you know what? I need to do some things differently. Experience turns into wisdom. Wisdom turns into change. And it's a lot of times because earlier on in life, we tend to chase things that we think that we want. Understandably so. They are pretty much programmed into us in every way possible since we were very young. But we chase this outside world and we sometimes can neglect the things that will actually bring us the greatest health, wealth, joy, peace, prosperity, everything. When we put our health, our mental well-being, and making good decisions for our overall presence, our health, putting our health first, everything else will come to fruition and even better. But we're not always taught that. And interestingly enough, I feel like most people chase the things that they feel are immediate needs, such as money. And I get that. I remember when I was younger and I used to do that a little bit too. Not really chase money, but like, you know, be so concerned with how I was going to make it and how this, how that. I didn't necessarily put my health as the number one priority. And it's what's interesting about that concept is that maximum health allows maximum decision-making, creativity, output, clarity, focus, right? All of the things we would need to make a good life. And we would do it from a much happier, grounded place, right? And we, so the real question is, would you rather wait until you get much older to realize what matters, or would you rather operate from what really matters now, making key decisions along the way, even in the short term, that affect the long term, knowing that they're aligned with values and integrity and a good life and a healthy life? Can you forego certain short-term gains to get the whole vision? I understand that is not always easy. Believe me, I'm in the middle of it. So he says in this chapter, he says, good decision-making comes down to two things. One, knowing how to get what you want. And two, knowing what's worth wanting. The first point is about making effective decisions. The second is about making good ones. You might think they're the same, but they are not. Decisions that bring immediate results, like closing a sale or filling a vacancy, may be effective, but they don't necessarily lead to the things that truly matter in life, like trust, love, and health. And we've talked about this in a lot of ways, different ways on this podcast, because you may be filling an immediate need. How quickly will you need that need again? Was it, if it wasn't necessarily related to the long-term picture, will you be in a hamster wheel of constantly chasing this need ever, however often, you know, until it's depleted again? You have to be very, very careful. But if you're making decisions more from a, like, how does this align with where I really want to go, and how can I do this better, and how can I integrate this into the bigger vision, it's very different. And he says, good decisions, on the other hand, align with your long-term goals and values and ultimately bring you the satisfaction, fulfillment that you truly desire in business, relationships, and life. He's absolutely right. I forego a lot of different possibilities being in business and in digital, where, you know, a lot of people play the shortcut game. A lot of people. You'd be surprised. This is my background, so I can actually see a lot of it online. And no need to bring any more attention to it, but it's the idea of that. That's not how I'm going to build the long-term vision in the community, ever. Just not. It's not how I operate. And you have to be willing to forego a lot of the way things look for your own vision, to do it the right way and with integrity, and to think through it, not just to do things irrationally, but to think like, hey, does this really make sense? Am I making this decision out of fear or worry that something won't be there, that God won't provide, or that, you know, the path won't provide? He then says, effective decisions get you the first outcome, while good ones get you the ultimate outcome. All good decisions are effective, but not all effective decisions are good. See the difference? All good decisions are effective, but not all effective decisions are good. Because all good decisions are trying to maximize the long-term vision. What you know, how does this, how does what I decide in this moment on this thing align with how will it serve me and where I'm trying to go? Because if it doesn't serve me for where I'm trying to go, then it's more likely going to be a distraction or something that I'm going to continuously find myself chasing after that really doesn't. Chasing means that it's a distracting process. It's not process oriented. It's not integrated. Versus the, you know, and you guys have heard me reference this before, and I think it was Naval that first said this, but it was, which his book is also in the recommended show notes. How do you make one decision that makes 1,000? Actually, no, it was Greg McKeown, Essentialism. How do you make one decision that makes 1,000? Let me tell you something, that master that, learn to do that. How do you make one decision that makes 1,000? This can be in your personal life. This can be in your health journey. This can be in your business. If I do X, how does this affect not just Y, but a million other decisions all at once? That's both good and effective and long-term. And then he says, making the best judgments comes down to making decisions that get you what you really want beyond just what you think you want at the moment. In life, we experience regret over both things we've done and things we fail to do. The worst regret is when we fail to live a life true to ourselves, when we fail to play by our own scoreboard. Each default plays a role in setting up us up for regret. The social default prompts us to inherit goals from other people, even if their life circumstances are very different from ours. That right there, each default plays a role in setting up us up for regret. The social default prompts us to inherit goals from other people. Ask yourself, seriously, do you want what you think you want because you've seen other people want it, or have it? And I talked about this on a few podcasts back. Like, are you just seeing the outcome of what they want and you want that outcome? Now, you can have a similar outcome, but you don't have to get it the way they got it. You can actually get it from a different path that's more suitable for you, your talents, the way you like to do things, the way you move, the way you can move with your strengths, not necessarily your weaknesses. You know what I mean? Like a whole other path. But you have to be very careful that the social default prompts us to inherit goals from other people. Because you see a lot of people comparing. Who said the famous quote, comparison is a thief of joy? I'll have to get the author of that. But it's so true. If you compare yourself to others and you're like, oh, I want that. Like, but do you really know why you want that? Or is it giving you a feeling of security, a feeling of health and stability, a feeling of vitality and creativity? Is it just stimulating your senses and that's why you want it? And then if it's stimulating your senses, then what else can you do that doesn't necessarily need something from the external, somebody else's goal or from the external world or from materialism? So that way you can actually have how you're feeling all the time. And then he just says, the inertia default encourages us to continue pursuing the goals we've pursued in the past, even after we've come to realize that achieving them doesn't make us happy. The emotion default sends us this way and that, chasing whatever captures our fancy in the moment, even at the expense of pursuing long-term goals that matter more. By the way, any of you ever, you're on a path, you know what you want to build. It's maybe taking a little bit of time. You may be even in still your first year, but it's still, it feels like it's going to take forever. Maybe you're in your fifth year. And then you ever get prompted by other people who have really great ideas and they want your help and maybe to be even involved. And it's very tempting, right? It's very tempting in that moment. You're like, ooh, I could do that. We're going to make money. This is good. And I like it. It feels aligned, but is it really aligned? Or is it the emotion default, which sends us this way and that, chasing whatever captures our fancy in the moment, even at the expense of pursuing long-term goals that matter more? I've gotten much better at this the last 2 years. I'll tell you that right now. It's taken me that long. Some people I know did it much younger. It was because there's just so much I want to do. There's so much I want to help others. There's so much vision and ideas and all these things. And then when somebody brings you a good idea, ooh, it's hard to turn that down. The way I look at it now, though, is I don't want good ideas. I want the great ones. And the great ones have to be aligned completely with what I'm already doing. So it's basically just the timing of like, oh, of course this makes sense because it's integrated into everything that I'm doing. It just makes sense. So what I want is really based on what's worth wanting and the long-term goal. You got to be really willing to give up, like Jim Collins said, to give up good to go for great. And there's a lot of good out there. There's a lot of good opportunities. There's a lot of things that will come your way that are just good. And you'll want them. And why not? But do they really align with your long-term goals? Do they really align with where you're trying to go? And you'd be surprised that when you turn down good, a lot of great happens along the way. Yes, there are moments that it doesn't feel like it. I can tell you that right now. There are moments. This actually is happening at times weekly where I'm like, ooh, was I like crazy for doing that? And then almost immediately I feel like God's like grace come through and it shows me right away like, oh yeah, no, actually it worked out. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. Of course. So the more I stay close to that practice, the more it's rewarded. Then he says, and the ego default, this is a good one, the ego default convinces us to pursue things like wealth, status, and power, even at the expense of happiness and well-being, our own and that of the people around us. So the ego default convinces us to pursue things like wealth, status, and power, even at the expense of happiness and well-being, our own and that of the people around us. So luckily, it's not the pursuit of wealth, status, and power that interests me as much as it is as to see how far I'm supposed to go with what I'm here to do. So once I made it in an inside job, that changed the game completely. And now I have a better understanding of people I admire, the greats in their lifetimes of what they've done, you know, to do what they've done, because it was very much an inside thing. In fact, you'll notice those people, they weren't about the status of the wealth, even though, and like I said earlier, the irony is they got a lot of it, but it wasn't about that for them. So while everyone's like, oh, but you have all this money. I mean, it was like even Bob Marley, you know, in that famous interview where he was asked like, you know, well, you know, do you feel, you know, set now that you have like all this money? And he's like, or do you feel rich? And he's like, so money makes you rich? I mean, he totally like schooled the interviewer. He's like, well, I mean, you know, you can buy anything you want. You do this. He's like, but does that make you rich? He loved what he did. He was in the pursuit of his music and like how that was going to affect the world. And so it's interesting. You do end up with the very things that you're not chasing, because you're in pursuit of your highest self. Then he says, if you give any of the defaults command of your life, your ultimate destination is regret. Don't live life by another person's scoreboard. Don't let somebody else choose your objectives in life. Take responsibility for where you are and where you are headed. Real wisdom doesn't come from chasing success, but from building character. As Jim Collins wrote, there you go. There is no effectiveness without discipline, and there is no discipline without character. If I could get you to do anything, it would be to not worry about what everybody else is doing or says that you should be doing. But at the same time, it's also to take such great accountability over like what's really worth wanting in your life and having more faith in that and designing and curating your life from that place. You know, he says, take responsibility for where you are and where you're headed. It's okay if you are in a place where you're like, this isn't it. This is not it. And then you can be really radically honest with yourself and say, what would it look like? Okay, what do I need to change now? What do I need to listen to? Is it me in the situation that caused this? Or, you know, or, and if it's other people, okay, that's fine. It's other people who are doing this to me, but then I got to change environments. I got to change people. I got to change. You cannot worry about other people at the sacrifice of just wanting to do the right thing. And then when he says real wisdom doesn't come from chasing success, but from building character, as Jim Collins wrote, there is no effectiveness without discipline. And there's no discipline without character. Your character is going to come from your discipline. You're going to really see what matters to you, and it's going to help you make very key decisions. And it is at no offense to anybody else. It is simply because you are understanding that I have to do this. I know why I'm doing it, and I've got to see it through because it's my word. And when you behave like that, I can guarantee you anybody you turn down because you're trying to be your word and do the right thing, like, comes back tenfold. I'll tell you this, in business, the best, and I've seen other people, this happen, other people that I've mentored, and then this has happened to me too. When you turn down people from the right place, like good people, and I've even, you know, good people that, like, with money, with opportunity, you tell them, like, you know what, I got to do this right now, here's, and you're honest with them, they'll be like, you know what, there's always a place for you here. I like you. Thank you for that integrity. Thank you for sticking to something you truly believe in. That's the type of person I want around me. So if you ever want to do something with me again, cool, call me. They respect it. The right people respect it. Everybody else that doesn't, that's a signal. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Again, wanting what matters. Good decision making comes down to two things: knowing how to get what you want and knowing what's worth wanting. The first point is about making effective decisions. The second one is about making good ones. Do you know the difference between what you want and what's worth wanting? I appreciate you guys tuning into every single episode. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As always, please leave a 5-star written review on Apple, 5-star rating on Spotify. Check the show notes. The apparel is live. Thank you guys. You guys, so many of you are buying stuff every single day and then sharing the photos with me. By the way, please buy something and share the photo with me. I'm not necessarily posting it on my stories, but I am actually compiling all of the photos to turn it into some reels and some other cool content in the future. So please share the hats, the sweatshirts, everything that you're wearing. And I'm also hearing from quite a few of you that, like, it's been sparking a lot of different conversations with people, like, you know, so it's interesting. Pay attention. I want you to pay attention to that. It's true, by the way. I was 3 weeks ago, I was out wearing the sweatshirt that said "not bigger." And then, you know, obviously it has some stuff on the back. There's two different sweatshirts, two different writings. And this guy was like, "Thank you." And it caught me off guard. And this happened to me one other time too. I was like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Thank you." I'm like, "For what?" He goes, "Your sweatshirt." I was like, "Huh?" He goes, "It was exactly what I needed to hear today." And I was like, "Oh my God, like, that's right. You know, I'm so grateful." I was like, "Actually, there's more on the back." He's like, "Oh, can I read it?" I'm like, "Yeah." And we were talking. He's like, "Seriously, it was exactly what I needed to hear today." And that to me is like the way we pay it forward. And that was exactly why I did it in the first place. And so hopefully you all get to do the same. I appreciate you guys. Thank you as always. And until next episode, I'm out. All right, that's it. We'll stop there for right now. I hope you found this helpful and applicable in some way. I want you to remember, you do not need to fit in, and you certainly do not need to fit into some category or title, nor be put into some box. The niche is you. It always has been. Please share this with a friend and be sure to leave a rating and review. Your feedback means everything to me. And also, thank you for listening and supporting me. If you're new and you want to receive these the moment they come out, please text me 480-530-7352. Text me podcast. I promise to only send you the good stuff. Thank you. And until next time, I'm out.